Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Every moment we spend talking to, entertaining others with the devil, are moments lost that we'll never get back again. Is it better to talk at the devil or to pray to the Lord? What should we be doing? Do you see what happens when we talk at the devil? We're not talking to the Lord. We're standing in our own strength. And it's not the Lord who's making us feel stronger. It's our adrenaline. We're pumping ourselves up. We've got to be very, very careful. This enemy is very, very wily. And he tries to isolate us, to remove us from the Lord and from his people.
Satan is real, and so is the battle for your heart. Satan longs to be your spiritual father. He wants to be the primary influence in your life in order to move you further away from God. As you enter into this spiritual warfare, it's important that you remember to fix your eyes on Jesus and not the enemy. If you look to God, He promises to fight your battles for you. In today's episode, Pastor Troy offers some encouragement as you strive to make God your spiritual father. You will be victorious through His strength. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 8 as he continues his message, "Who is your father?"
The question has been asked, if a tree falls and no one is around to hear it, does it really make a sound? Well, yes, it does. It still produces the sound waves, doesn't it? Even if someone's ears are not there to receive those sound waves, it doesn't mean the sound waves weren't produced. Well, in the same way, whether people are willing to receive it or not, doesn't make it real or not. Whether or not God is real, whether or not Satan is real. They are. And Satan's greatest victory is in our not believing in him so that we don't stand against him. You know, in martial arts, one of the things they teach you is the most important thing is to be ready, to be on guard. When you're walking towards your vehicle at night, don't just got the headphones on. Yeah. You're going to get attacked. But if you are constantly aware of your surroundings, you're less likely to be attacked because they're looking for the element of surprise. And so when we're aware, we're more protected. And guys, there is an invisible enemy. There's an invisible world that we need to be aware of that is influencing. And the world has his DNA. The world has his fingerprints all over it. And it's not necessarily in all of the evil and wickedness. Some of it is in just busyness of life. The things busy about things that don't matter to heaven or eternity or God at all. His fingerprints are all over the place. So a second part of this premise, not only is he real, but everyone has a relationship with him. The devil. Yes, everyone does. Either he's your spiritual father, you have his DNA, you have his fingerprints all over your life, or God is your spiritual father and he is your antagonist, your enemy. He doesn't want to leave you alone. He doesn't want you to enjoy. He doesn't go, oh man, he was born again. I'll leave him alone. No, because now you become significant. You can make a difference. And so he wants to neutralize you at all cost so you don't make a difference. So you just blend in. So you go hang out with the family during the holidays and make no difference at all. Then that's a moral victory for the side of the dark. People like to think No one controls me. I'm in control. I'm the captain of my own ship. Make my own decisions. I do my own things. And so they take that mindset and they reject God's authority. God's in the open. God's saying, look, I'm the Lord. I'm God. Come to me like a father. I will take care of you. But they don't want that, not that authority. And all the while, they're rejecting God's authority. They're having the devil pull the strings in their life. They don't realize it. Their life's a mess. Do they want that mess? No. Ask any heroin addict. Do they want that mess? No. So it wasn't like, I want to be addicted and I want to lose everything and I want to... It's not like that's the ambition of their life, but they get drug in, they get drugged down, and they don't realize it. They think they're free, but they are being drugged down. John White wrote a book called The Fight. Let me quote a little piece of it. It says, you may not have realized you had a relationship with the devil at all unless you were fooling around with the occult. Yet aware of it or not, his spirit was at work in your body unknown to you, and his deceptions obscured your thinking, while his music inflamed your senses and influenced your will. He thought of himself as your master, but like credit rating agencies, he makes himself unobtrusive as possible. His greatest skill lay in giving you a feeling that you were your own master. That's his lie. You're the master. You make your choices. Nobody influences you. That's what he sold in the garden, right? You don't need God influence. You don't need God telling you right and wrong. You can be your own master. You decide right and wrong. You'll be like God, knowing it for yourself. And so that's the devil's DNA. Whenever we have that mindset, that's the fingerprint of the devil, the fingerprint of the enemy. I'm in control myself. I've known individuals who dabbled in the occult, and they will tell you that the power, it's real. In fact, one of the things that draws them further into it, they get blinded of the power of God because they're so drawn into this power, it is real and dark, and they say, you're drawn into it because there's something that feeds your ego. I have power, and I am on a side with great power. Now, what wakes some of them up is the idea that, wait a minute, if the devil has this kind of power, and God is all-powerful, what kind of power must he have? And that's one of the few things that breaks them from those chains that they bind themselves in. But there is real power in the enemy. We don't realize it. We stand here, I bind you, Satan. Yeehaw, like some rodeo going on. And they even put a show on behind the pulpit sometimes. Get out of here, devil. Oh, that hurt. No. Get out of here. And the people are like, yeah, that's right. Hey, look. No, this enemy is ferocious. He's invisible. We're not the ones who are supposed to be going, get out of here, devil. No, we resist the devil. We turn. We resist. We don't even acknowledge him. We look to God. We run to him and let him take care of all of that stuff. For every moment we spend talking to, entertaining others with the devil, our moments lost that we'll never get back again. Is it better to talk at the devil or to pray to the Lord? What should we be doing? Do you see what happens when we talk at the devil? We're not talking to the Lord. We're standing in our own strength. And it's not the Lord who's making us feel stronger. It's our adrenaline. We're pumping ourselves up. We've got to be very, very careful. This enemy is very, very wily. And he tries to isolate us, to remove us from the Lord and from his people. Why do you think so often when we feel depressed, when we start thinking about ourselves so much, we begin to separate? It's a tact of the enemy to separate, to divide and conquer. Many who suffer depression will often start by thinking a couple of thoughts, and then they go inward right away. I'm this, I'm that. Or they feel this weight upon themselves and they go inward. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Don't go upward, go inward, and then we'll go downward. Because when we see who we really are, it's not good. When we see what we're capable of, it's not good. It is depressing. And that's why we're to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're not there yet. We're not done. But we keep our eyes on Him. We go, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. I want to be like that. And we continue to pursue Him and follow after Him. And everything begins to change. Paul wrote this, the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So the premise which we spent most of our time on, because we don't spend a lot of time acknowledging this, the premise is that the devil is real. He influences you either as sons of the devil, or with fear, he tries to intimidate you. You're sons of God, but he wants to draw you away. So he intimidates as an enemy. We all do business with the devil, but where we focus is important. Yeah, he's going to attack, but if we set our eyes on the Lord, we will be victorious. That's the promise we have of God. No question about it. You set your eyes on the Lord, you win. If you take the way out that Jesus gives you, you win. If you don't take the way out, you're going to stumble. If you look around at temptation, here's the way out. The way out is, and you go, well, I want to fight the fight. I'm going to fight the fight. You're going to get run over. We don't have it in ourselves to fight that fight. A way of escape is made. Run. A way of escape is made. Go apologize. Don't let your mind run rampant. Go apologize. Go talk to the person. Because the enemy loves it when untruths are in our mind, rattling around. He loves, did you see the look? Oh, and he loves to do that. And we're off aside, and the answer is that person right there. Just go over and talk to him. Just right there. But we go through a long, hard battle. We get defeated so often.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. Verse 39, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Let's look at the pretenders real briefly. Abraham would be a great man to have in your lineage, wouldn't he? Say, man, that's someone to be proud of. Abraham. And that's what they were. They were very proud of their family line and proud to be descendants of Abraham, Abraham's children. And Jesus is saying, look, just because you're Abraham's descendants doesn't mean you're Abraham's children spiritually. That you have the same ideas as Abraham, that you bought into the faith of Abraham. You may be descendants physically, but you are not his children spiritually, because Abraham received the messengers of God. You go back and look at Abraham's life. When God sent messengers, Abraham received them, welcomed them, ate with them, believed them. But he says, you are trying to kill me, the messenger of God. You're not at all like Abraham. You don't have that DNA at all spiritually. See, Abraham believed God, but you haven't believed a word I've said. So they're trying to rely on their physical descent. But Jesus is saying that physical descent doesn't matter when it comes to salvation. I was born in a Christian home. I was raised in the church. I went to a Christian school. That does not matter at all. Sort of like those who would hold to the idea of a universal father. He's not the universal father of all. But there are some who hold to it. He's all of our father. See, when you hold to that idea, the next little thing you grab onto, and a father would not harm his children, and a father would not send his children to hell. Therefore, because he's the universal father of all, he's going to love like a real father. He's not going to cast me out. And there is this subtle deception going on. People get comfortable with the idea that God would never judge them, that he's love. He's all love, and he made us, and he's our father, and he would never do that. I remember having a discussion with an elementary school teacher one time. She said, well, I just couldn't imagine having children and then taking them and putting them in the oven, like a Hansel and Gretel kind of a, I just couldn't imagine. I just can't believe that. And at that time, very, very young in my faith, I didn't have the answer. Like, because I had this universal father influence because I didn't understand. But he's not. Oh, he's never going to put his children in the oven. He's not going to put anyone in the oven. There's no oven big enough. People go to hell. And they're destined for hell. But he loves them so much, he saves them. He seeks and saves those who will believe in him. So, it doesn't matter who your parents are. If you've grown up in the church, it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of your own relationship with the Lord. But they take another jab at Jesus, saying in verse 41, we were not born out of fornication, talking about birth and relation. We were not born out of fornication. We have one Father, God. Now, that was a jab at Jesus because of all of the rumors that Jesus was illegitimate. And so they're bringing it up again, the illegitimate birth that they thought because Jesus was born of a virgin. And, well, that's the wrong way to turn the conversation, by the way, saying we have one Father, God. Oh, you want to go there, do you? So Jesus is more than willing to go that direction. Look at verse 42 as we'll get to our paternity test here. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. So the paternity test. Okay, let's get our little antennas up now. Is there a way to check to see who our father is? Well, yes, I think so. Based on Jesus' response here, we can make at least four observations. First, who do you love? Who do you love? Verse 42, Jesus says, if God were your father, you would love me. So a key sign that God is someone's father is that they love the Son. One of the first things that you notice about someone who is born again is that they love Jesus. They cling to Jesus. They want to be around Jesus. They want to know more about Jesus. They want to be around Jesus' people. They love him. In Saudi Arabia, I went to the underground church. And I remember these are individuals who live with persecution. They have to carry Bibles in shopping bags to look like they had gone shopping when they go to church, and then they come to a place that's literally underground, you know, like in a basement or something, to limit sound that might go out because they could be killed. And so they come in, and then they, you know, take off their scarf or take out their Bibles, and they worship God with a freedom and a joy that is not fake. It's not just an emotional thing. It is a release of thank you, God. And they say, with all this oppression, with all this fear for their life, they still come in and they go, man, Jesus is good. Oh, I love Jesus so much. Oh, Jesus is so... And you're just so convicted because for so many of us in the West, with so much, and no one coming to knock on our door and kill us as Christians, we can forget about him for a day or a week at a time. But over there, they live with awareness that he's there. And when it's time to worship, they won't even wait for a worship team. It's time. They get in. Oh, the Lord is good. Yes. Ah. And they're going for it. There's joy, undeniable joy. I pray that maybe the joy of the Lord would be restored to us. That the joy of thy salvation, the simplicity that is in Christ, would be restored to us. We make it so complicated. So hard. What are the rules anyway? I love the Lord. Well, what are the rules on that? Should I lift my hand? Should I lift them here? What about this? Is this too much? Like, goodness gracious. Rejoice. We're indoors. Well, when it's time to worship, it's okay to use your outdoor voice. Let's sing. Let's sing the song. Let's worship the Lord. If we've been saved at all. So who do you love? Peter said this to some who had put their trust in Jesus, and he said this about their attitude toward him. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He said, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So first, who do you love? That's part of the paternity test. Do you love him? Are you excited about him? Second, what do you understand? In verse 43, Jesus says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. See, when you're not his, you're yours. And you have your fingerprints of the enemy. And you have your will. And when that happens, he says things, his word says things, you go, I don't get it. I don't believe that. I don't receive that. I don't know that you got to necessarily believe that. You don't receive it. It's not like his word, Father, has spoken. It's like, that's someone's idea. But that's not for me. Do you understand what it is that God is saying to you? Do you understand when the word comes in? It's not important to you when he's not your father. It's not really all that important. Your will is more important. One sign that God is not your father, you don't understand when you hear his word. Now, I'm not talking about difficult passages. I don't understand about the Trinity. Maybe I'm not saved. No, there's some difficult passages. I'm not saying theologically, but you don't get it. God's word is spoken, and it's like, oh, no, 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 no. You're not living it at all. It's like totally opposite of what you're doing. But it's like, oh, no, 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 no. You don't get it. Is God really your father?
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the Gospel of John and express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that has ever lived. Join us then, right here, on Building on the Solid Rock.
the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have.